Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility, Once Upon a Farm, and Pros. Thank you for making our show a possibility. Thank you.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Ooh, Jamie, we are back.
Season 9, guys. I can't believe it's season 9.
We're about to hit 150 episodes.
Dang.
In like two more episodes.
Oh, I've already been saying 150 episodes.
That's all right. Round up.
I mean, it's basically it.
We have such a huge season coming at you, season 9.
We really do.
I mean, starting off with this powerhouse episode that we have right here, but like, this is going to be a fantastic season.
I don't know how the stories keep.
And every time I'm like, that's a story we haven't told. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So it's going to be a great season.
Yes. So sit tight and get ready. But on that note, on a different note, we are also starting this season off with some sad news.
You might remember Patricia and Kellen from season 1, episode 17. I think the episode was called Motherhood, Mindfulness, and Mother's Day. I mean, Patricia's been struggling with fighting cancer for the last year. We talked about it, and we put it on our social for the GoFundMe. And this week, she succumbed to cancer.
I'm crying because
I know
she was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And it's really terrible.
Yep.
I feel so much for her wife and her three girls.
Yeah.
And her family, and I'm wishing them the best. And she was more than a friend. She was a mentor to me, and she was kind of my spiritual guru. And I mean, you witnessed it yourself, Robin. She had so much.
Oh my gosh. Power. She was so powerful. And she was so just like, I said to Jamie when you told me about it first, because I had seen a picture of her on social and I didn't read the caption, you know, and I thought, oh, she looks good. And, you know, but she was a giant. She just was a giant in the room.
A legend.
Like, yeah. Just like her energy. And like, I mean, we cried several times I refer back to some of the things that she talked about her relationship, her marriage, in my marriage to this day. That episode left such a mark on me personally. And I know you too, Jamie.
Yeah. She just had this uncanny ability to move hearts and minds and bodies, mm-hmm. And to inspire and encourage. And I met her at a very lonely time in my life, and she helped me find myself again. And every time anything good happens to me, I think of her and I tell her, mm-hmm. and I want her to know. And she's just, it's a big loss to the world.
Yes. So, and those kids and her wife and, but Kellen's post about, I'll see you again soon. And
that I'll find you. Yeah. She said, I'll find you.
Yep.
I'm sorry, guys.
Oh my God. We're like blubbering idiots over here, but we knew we could not move this forward without paying tribute to what an incredible soul she was and is. Because I say is because her mark will continue in this world. It will just will. Yes. So we are dedicating this episode, this season, to Patricia, and we are sending our love to her family and to those kids, and you know, I don't know, go hug somebody you love.
Yeah. Show everyone you love them.
Yes.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Well, on a lighter
okay,
note.
Back to the light stuff. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Well, so season 9. So we are so, I mean, if this doesn't tell you how happy we are to be back, like just these feelings, like these people come in our lives just to do an interview, and we are always so moved, and we are, like, we think of every single person as part of our family and as part of our community, even if they've forgotten who in the hell we are, we're still like, oh, remember that one guy who said that one thing? And we talk about it all the time. You know,
we really do. It's kind of sad.
When I over the break, when I was at my father-in-law's, my sister-in-law said, she said, oh my God, she said, do you know what? She said, she always tries to get caught up before we see each other. And she said, I just finished season 8. She said, you know what was my favorite was Alec Mappa. She said, he was so moving in his advice and his parenting. She said, I just didn't expect that. And I said, I didn't either. I just thought it was going to be like joke, joke, joke. And
yeah.
And you can't, I don't even know what the word is, but like,
I don't know, you can't buy this shit.
Yeah.
You can't like,
how meaningful this all is to us and to everyone. And it's just, it's wonderful.
Oh, so magical.
Yes.
Every episode is magical. So on that note, we have to say a special thank you to our newest Patreon member, Anne Ray. Thank you so much, Anne Ray. That's a beautiful name.
I know.
Ray of light, you.
Yes. And we thank you because you are helping us make content for LGBTQ families. So if you want to join Anne Ray and helping us make this content, join our Patreon community, you can do just that. You just do a good thing. So you can head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join our little community there.
Yes.
So
yes.
Without further ado, Jamie.
Laura Stone. Oh. I had to say it like that. I don't know why.
Because it's got very theatrical.
What an amazing interview. She's a writer, a really funny lady, and one of our new favorite people, as you now know.
I was so excited to get her to kick off the season. And we're going to talk about her leaving the Mormon church. We're going to talk about her coming out. We're going to talk about all of her kids coming out at the exact same time as her and her writing that is for the LGBTQ community.
Once again, another powerhouse. I mean, you guys have to hear this. So let's just get to it.
Yes.
You don't need to hear us blather on any longer. Helen. Oh, Helen's back too. And she's happy to be here.
I think 2022, kidding. She could be. We got a new Helen. No, I was saying nice things, Helen. Just roll the tape. They were nice things, Helen. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to have you.
So excited. So excited.
As we were talking about before we turned the recordings on, my wife, Mary, is such a huge, huge, huge fan of yours and has been hounding me to get you on this podcast for like, wait, honestly, way longer than it should have taken me to get to you. So it's really, once again, I come out bad in this story.
I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, Robin. You've got a lot on your plate.
I don't know. I'm going to hold a little bit of a grudge, I think.
I couldn't love you more already.
I love you, Laura.
That's perfect. Jamie's going to love this because, like, when Judy Gold yells at Jamie, I love it. And so when anyone else yells at me, Jamie loves it. So it's like a perfect.
I love it.
It's really fun. It's really fun. Anyway, so Laura, I think before we do anything, we should just get right into your elevator pitch.
Oh, you bet.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay, so I got my family the old-fashioned way in that I grew up a closeted Mormon and practiced a whole bunch of heteronormativity. And as a result of that, even though that was lousy, the three kids that I got, that was what I got out of it. And all three of my kids with me, we make up LGB and T.
Oh,
whoa.
Time to spare on the clock.
3 seconds left.
Time
over.
To spare. That was very well done.
Wait, you left out that you're a writer. You left out that whole bit. Tell people God's sake.
So I'm actually an author. I have published three novels. I write only queer protagonists. I do not write gay pain. I do not write for straight people, in other words.
Oh my God, I'm in love with you.
I'm just
saying.
All right,
settle down, Jamie.
Let's talk.
You're married.
Let's talk. So, damn it. So, sorry, I'm not. So, I also published all three of those books with an award-winning independent publishing house called Interlude Press. I was one of their flagship authors. They only publish queer protagonists. It's not for straight people. I mean, straight people obviously can read our books and go ahead and give us your money. That'd be great. But it's not for them. It's
not tailored to them.
Right. It's most of the authors are queer or queer adjacent in some fashion. By the way, I use the word queer. I know that some people find that to be a slur. I am of the mindset that it's a reclamation. So apologies if you would prefer me to use LGBTQ. I do use them interchangeably. So
we want everybody to use what is comfortable for them because it's your story.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that.
And our motto is you do you, boo.
That's our motto, Jamie? That's new.
I just made that up.
But so I've published three novels through Interlude Press. And the last one that I published, it's been a few years because I'm working on, this one's kicking my ass. It's a murder mystery set in the swamp here in Texas. I'm trying to make swamp gothic a thing, and it is lesbians. And I could not be more in love with this story, but it's just like, it's so intricate, the story, that it's just been taking me a little bit longer to get.
Oh my
it,
God. Anyway. You had me at murder
this
mystery
is so exciting.
With the gays.
This is so exciting. Yeah. You had me at queer protagonists. Yeah. Protagonists. I'm very excited. I sense another book club book coming on.
Yes.
Our live stream. We'll do you next.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll do you, boo.
Jamie, it's getting weird.
All of this pleases me. All of it pleases me.
That's so exciting. And I want books all about LGBTQ, queer, the whole umbrella. Yeah. I want it. Bring it. Let's do it. I'm tired of the heteronormative narrative.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to interject. So the second book that I wrote, I wanted to not write white, polished gay men, which I think so much of, like, whatever. Read what you want to read. Write what you want to write. But I just felt like I was contributing to just this plethora of books, and there's so many people who didn't have their stories told and didn't have, what they wanted. So I set a story in 1870s in West Texas, but I don't write gay pain. That's
okay.
I'm not doing it.
What do you mean by gay pain?
Like, you know what I mean? It's
like the struggle
where people want to just, it's to make straight people feel bad for the queer experience.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's like, isn't it so sad? And let's see how else we can really kick this character and just make it pitiful. And it's like, my God, can we just have, you know, a trans Indiana Jones story?
Yeah.
Can we just have?
Yes. They just happen to be.
Would that not be amazing?
In the LGBTQ community. That's it. They just happen to be in the community. They don't have
to be.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I just said. I don't need another coming out story. Like,
right.
Got
and,
it.
And those serve their place because we still have struggles with kids being able to come out and adults being able to come out. And, I mean, I didn't come out until my 30s, but I mean, I had girlfriends before that, but it was all in the DL.
Side whisper.
Profoundly Mormon. I was profoundly Mormon.
Yeah, we got to get into that. But
oh, happy to talk about that.
Well, we'll get into that, but I'm excited about your, keep going. Keep going with this
book
thing.
So I had to do a lot of research, and I want to shout out, this is so random, the Gene Autry Cowboy Museum in California has all of their materials archived online.
Ooh.
And there is so much gay poetry.
Really?
Written by cowboys in the 1800s.
Wow. Stop it. There get out of town.
I'm saying there's like these trans mass cowboys. There are, I mean, it's just, it was the most magnificent thing to read and to see. And there was like this straight washing that happened during like all of the, during like movie code. And I mean, things were really, really queer until about the 1830s. And then, you know, the people in charge just said, nope, we want everybody to be a white Christian. And
that's dirty. Everything else is dirty.
Yeah. So I just wanted to shout out whoever their curator is for that museum, you know, blessings on your house for doing such a great job of having all of this wonderful material out there. And I mean, I must have spent 8 months just finding all of this wonderful.
That's really
queer
exciting.
As fuck stuff. Yes. It's just wonderful.
Love it. Yes. So. That's really exciting. And there's not enough.
Yeah.
And there's not enough out there. Even with so many folks like you writing books like this, it's not enough. It will never be enough. It'll never be enough for Jamie. But I mean, that's real.
Just to put a tatty little bow on the whole cowboy thing, 40% were queer.
Wow.
And like, another 40%, so it mixed and matched, but like they weren't white. Mm. They were black men.
Yeah.
They were Latino men. They were sometimes Asian men. Like it wasn't the straight white singing cowboy, you know, being kind to the school marm.
Yeah.
You know, that like that wasn't who they were. So
well, that's what's so awesome about that movie that's on Netflix right now. Is it Netflix? The one that's Regina King's movie? Have you seen it?
I don't even know. I don't
it's
even
on
know.
My watch list.
Oh my!
What is it?
Oh, I can't think of the name of it. It is so unbelievably good, and it's about the like black cowboys, and they're like, we exist.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hold on, movies. I'm gonna look up the title here. It is called The Harder They Fall, and it is. Oh. It is. I mean, and it is. It feels like a Tarantino movie, but it's so good. You have to watch it. But it reminds me of what you're saying because it is all about the like how cowboys were all whitewashed. And they're like, no, there was this whole population of black cowboys. And I was like, amazing. And the movie's amazing. And Regina King is just amazing.
Oh, I mean, I'd watch her read the paper.
There's nothing that she does that's not perfect.
Wait, what's the name of the book?
That book is called Bitter Springs.
Bitter Springs. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody write it down.
Just a quick question. Are you in the beginning stages of this baby-making process? The planning that goes into creating our families, it's intense and expensive, and we have to take whatever help along the way that we can get.
That's why Modern Fertility was created. For all of you starting this journey, Modern Fertility makes it easy and affordable to test your fertility hormones with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label, and you get your results within 10 days. It's that easy.
Yes, and we all know that traditional testing with your doctor can cost thousands, but Modern Fertility only costs $159. That is a fraction of the price if you are not so good at math. And if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you will get $20 off that already cheap price.
Beautiful. You'll get insight into your hormone levels, how many eggs you have, and other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps.
And if you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the decision that's right for you.
And folks, right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means your test will cost $139 instead of the several hundreds or even thousands plus dollars it could cost at your doctor's office.
Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
modernfertility.com/OCT.
OCT.
OCT. All right, well, let's talk. We got to get into Mormon business, and we got to get into LGBTQ closet breaking free, all of that.
Yeah. So that's a lot. That's a real heavy topic. I absolutely am going to make light and I am going to make fun of the Mormon church. So if you're a Mormon apologist, we're not going to be best of friends. And that's just fine because I...
we're going to have some words.
So my family is like deeply and profoundly Mormon. Like mm-hmm. they were handcart pioneers coming across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Their journals are a part of like the BYU archives. My Whoa. Cousin is in the, not the, if you're Mormon, it's a, he's a general authority, which I always thought was the most hilarious title. Like, I'm just a general authority. Like, I'm just, I just am an expert on all generally. Of the things, right? Like, that's a pretty cool, that's a good job if you can get it.
It's basically me.
Yeah.
Just generally know things.
But like, I grew up with the expectation that without question, I would marry a man. And I would have children. And that was like the greatest thing that I could ever do. And that was the only thing that I really should be shooting for. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was not even, gosh, I probably was like 8 or 9. And I saw Christy McNichol. I don't know if you're.
Oh, yeah, didn't, we all, didn't we all see Christy McNichol?
And then.
Hi, Christy.
And then puberty hits. And then. Joe Polnicek is on my TV.
Oh, yes, she
right?
is.
And it's just, it nothing is fitting. And I was a deeply profound Mormon. I was just so into it that I couldn't understand what was going on. And anytime I would try to talk to someone about what I was thinking or feeling, it was always just, oh, we just pray for that to get away. And, you know, just that was the mindset that I grew
would
up in.
Would you actually tell would you actually tell people
I'm thinking about Joe and her motorcycle.
Yeah, did you even realize it was a crush?
No,
perhaps?
I didn't because I was also an incredibly naive kid. Here's how naive I was. So Mormons love to dance. Mormons love Uh-oh. A church dance. There's a church dance every damn Saturday. And Utah actually has like really good radio stations. I'm not going to lie. And there was this new song that came out. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Father Figure by George Michael. And my dad was the church chaperone. And I was like, hey, Dad, let's dance. Because I was too awkward and I didn't really want to dance with the boys on a slow song. So I'm going to dance with my dad. And we're slow dancing. And it's, you know, my dad's this goofy guy and he bounces his elbows. He's like, hey, pull my finger. Like he is the most dad, whoever dad. He sucks in sandals. So he's just like, you know, doing this dad type waltz with his daughter. And then we both just kind of like stopped when the penny dropped of like, oh, and we just kind of drifted apart on the dance floor.
I can't remember what the lyric, what is the lyric? What
I will be your father figure. Put your tiny hand in mine. I will be your preacher, teacher, anything you had in mind.
Oh, right.
And then it goes on. It's dirty.
It does get dirty. You're right.
I know that your dad's just like slowly just backing like, away from
hey,
you.
Hey, kid, how about we go check out the refreshments? You know, I'm like, I like ginger ale. So I'm just kind of an idiot is basically the takeaway here.
I mean, to be fair, I didn't know I had a crush on Joe or Chrissy from Three's Company, but I realize now that I did.
Right.
You know, but I didn't know at the time. So I don't think that's too strange. I don't think that's too.
Well, bless you. And thank you very, very much for that grace. So do you remember Just One of the Guys?
Oh, yes. Remember that movie? Love
Boy,
that movie.
It doesn't hold up to the test of time.
I had it on VHS tape. Sure didn't.
Man, she was hot. She made me.
Oh, that's the one, the girl who dresses up as the guy, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Short hair. Yeah, uh-huh. So I've got a type is what you should take away from there.
So do
I. Real strong. And I had a youth leader who looked like her, and she took me to see that movie. She didn't know what the movie was about either because she was also a very naive Mormon. So I think I'm like 15 or 16 when that movie comes out, and she's like 22, and I just thought the world of her because she was just this wonderful and fun and she had that, like, I play volleyball kind of a vibe, you know, and I'm on the church basketball team. And she just had this energy that I was so drawn to. And I remember coming home from that movie and just, like, trying to figure out how this could work and just feeling despair.
Right.
Because it couldn't. Mm-mm. Everything in my world said that this was you know, just a cog that kept would just continually slipping for the rest of my life, right?
Yet you keep having these feelings and you don't know where to put them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're like, I should get married anyway.
Well, it's it was just kind of like, it just felt like this inevitable thing of like paying taxes. Like, I don't want to do this, but I gotta. Right. And I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. Mm-hmm. And something that's unique to the Mormon church is that they hit really, really hard that the most important thing in your life is your family. The most important thing. You picked your family before you even were born. Because they believe that, you know, your spirit's in the world and you choose everything. That's a whole other host of problems. But for the main thing is, like, you pick who your family is going to be. And some people believe you pick who your spouse is going to be. Now, this is not in the Book of Mormon, but this is Mormon culture. Like, this is just kind of steeped in Mormon culture. So everything that you do is to keep that family together. So there's it's a whole mantra. Families are forever. And when you get married, it's not till death do you part. It's for time and all eternity. You are family. Oh. You are a daughter. You are a husband. Yeah, that could be real bad, right?
Yes.
That's a long, long time.
It is, especially with some of my family members. So,
also, I might want to be alone a little bit in the afterlife.
Just give me like a couple of decades.
Just a little bit of time.
Well, isn't it true that when you get married, you have the husband knows your heavenly name and only the husband can call you to heaven? And so if you die first, you don't get to heaven until he dies so he can call you in?
Exactly right.
Yes,
that's exactly
that makes sense. You should just wait for him.
Obviously.
That makes sense.
Yes. Obviously. That's tough, man. Yeah.
Well, and on another note, when you get married in the temple, that's when it's for time and all eternity. If you don't get married in the temple, and that's when they wear garments and all that kind of stuff. When you're married for time and all eternity, that's it for the woman. Now, a man can marry multiple women. That's the polygamy thing, which they're like, we don't do that anymore. However, my mother and my father divorced. They were married in the temple and they still had their temple marriage. And my dad remarried and they got married in the temple.
He has two wives for eternity.
Eternity.
Like, not like not the, on in earth. The, in the sense
but
of
she's
the
she's not allowed
thing.
To.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But she couldn't
can't get
do
remarried
that.
In the temple. He can't.
No. Correct.
Of course. Yeah.
So long story short, it just felt like I couldn't have what I wanted. And I had to do what I had to do because it was required to play that part, both culturally, both spiritually. You know, there's a lot of shame that comes on your parents when you don't follow the path that has been laid out for you. Mm-hmm. So now we fast forward to my kids coming out. So I now have three kids.
Did they come out while you were still in the Mormon church and married?
No, I had slowly pulled away from the church. I am still officially a Mormon because they will not take my name off the records. I've got to like there's like this whole procedure that you have to do to like have a lawyer and they draft this letter and they send it to them and then they have.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I kind of like being on their membership rolls and talking smack about them, to be quite honest. Like there's a little something I like about it. But they gave me so much grief.
Yeah.
I got to get my tithing out of it first, and then we'll say, you know. But so then my kids start coming out, and I have stopped going to church, and I'm not an active member. And I started to talk to my dad about just how the Mormon church feels, because my dad, he's still very profoundly involved in the church. So I start talking to him about, have you noticed how they talk about these kinds of things? And have you noticed how, because I have not come out to him.
Right.
So, like at this point, he does not know about me. But I start to talk to him. Then I said, I need you to know that if you can't respect this about my child when they had come out, then we're going to have to make arrangements for like holidays and stuff, because you can't come into my home if you're going to say you can't be gay or say anything negative about it. You're not allowed in my house. You are quickly escorted. That's just not allowed. And to my dad's credit, he literally grew up in a barn. He's number 13 of 15 farm kids from this. Yeah. From this. I have 160 something first cousins.
Yeah, you do.
I'm Mormon.
Holy.
So he's from like the foothills of a teeny tiny little town outside of Provo called Lehi. And which is where Sister Wives.
I know.
That's why you know it.
I do. Uh-huh. I had a girlfriend from Salt Lake, so we spent time all over.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a nice lesbian scene in Utah.
There's a huge alternative scene in Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh. That's so funny.
Like the cafes are crazy. There's so many tattoos and there's so much happen. Like it's
isn't
like,
it awesome?
You don't expect it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it has to be like some kind of like I'm rejecting when you've been pushed down a path for so long that you're having an opposite reaction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. And people get like they're bowed up and rowdy, as we say here in like Texas. Like they're just like, bring it. What are you gonna do? What do you got? And good for them. So my dad was just, he's so besotted with his grandkids. He thinks they're the most amazing people, which they are, that it just became a non-issue. And then they started looking for another church that they could go to that was queer friendly.
Who did? Your father?
Wow. Oh, he did.
Yes.
Oh, isn't it amazing when given the opportunity, they show up the way that you hope that they will? Like that, it gives me such... hope that some people are able to show up.
But do you mean outside of the Mormon church, the Ethel Merman church?
He sure did.
Outside of the Mormon church. Yep. Oh.
So he has this, I always get the name wrong, but it is a Baptist church in Dallas, but they are LGBTQ and they have actually been kind of kicked out of the Baptist organization because of it. But they have just like a killer choir. They're a lot of fun. And my dad is a choir master, so he works with them. Huh. So he has been around a certain type of gay person his whole life. He's been, theater gay.
That's me.
which we love. But so he has only had that much exposure. And he's like, well, I like this. This is fun. And then my daughter, whose nickname for her is Stands with a Fist, because she's like, I am a lesbian and I am going to make you accept it or die trying. Like she is just like ready to go. She's the most magnificent 6 foot tall Doc Martens, 2 full sleeves. I love every inch of that girl. Eat her up. She's magnificent. Oh my God. And you never want to argue with her because she's good at it. She knows just how to just turn it. But he thinks she's the most amazing creature on earth. And so she kind of confronted what he has known, gay can be. And then my youngest is trans and gay and is medically transitioning. So going back to the Mormon church, they don't even acknowledge transgender. They don't even acknowledge it. It's LGB. And they don't even say that. It's SSA.
What's SSA?
Same sex attraction. So they don't even consider the gender issue.
And also, by the way, using that wording, same-sex attraction, you are taking it away from an identification and making it be a behavior. That's a really interesting, psychological bullshittery right there.
Yeah. Ugh. So I am a member of a group that's called the Mama Dragons. It exists because the suicide rate among LGBT teens, LGBTQ, pardon me, in Salt Lake City skyrocketed in about 2015. And that was because the Mormon church came out and said, nope, you can't be gay and be Mormon. And if you're gay, your kids can't be Mormon. And what did we start this off with? The most important unit in a Mormon person's life is their family. And so now you have just shut the door and turned the light off on all of these
people. Scientology. It's like that whole pulling people, it's like a programming thing, like pulling people away from, isolation. It's just, that's gross.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And if anybody is listening who is in the Salt Lake or Utah Valley, Encircle, E-N-C-I-R-C-L-E, is a home that you are welcome to go to if you are especially an LGBTQ teen. You will be welcomed with open arms and loved, and they know how to talk to kids who are from the Mormon culture and how to help you. I know we have other organizations, but that's a place that you can physically go and be surrounded by people who will love and accept you. Keep that in your back pocket if you're a kid in that area. But they've had to walk it back a little bit, and it's, as usual, when there's any large change in that church, it's because of money. Mm-hmm. They let Black people have, or excuse me, they let Black men have priesthood. They could actually hold the priesthood in 1978. And it was because they spent all this money on temples in South America. And they have this rule that if you have even, this is not me, this is their dogma, if you even have one drop of Black blood, then you can't be a priesthood holder. Yeah, it's real racist.
My God.
It's real super racist.
I had
racist.
No idea.
But so they spent all this money on temples
that nobody could go to.
Oh,
and then
my
they were like, I guess
God.
We better fix
yeah,
that.
We need some leaders.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. So I have somebody who told me that in Sweden, the Mormon church can't really function because they're considered a hate group.
Oh.
Because of it. So hats off to Sweden.
Go ahead, Sweden. Go ahead with your bad selves. You do you, booze.
You know, Once Upon a Farm is the leading baby food and kids snack company offering organic, cold-pressed fruit and veggie blends, dairy-free smoothies, overnight oats, meals, and more.
Yes, Once Upon a Farm products are made with whole, organic, farm-fresh ingredients and no added sugars, concentrates, or anything artificial.
Oh my God, it's so great. Their new immunity blends are made with nutrition-packed fruits and veggies like elderberry and dragon fruit and added probiotics to help support your little ones for the chilly season or any reason. Plus, they taste delicious.
And immunity blends, you guys, are clean label project certified, meaning they've been third-party tested for over 400 environmental and industrial toxins, including heavy metals. Ew, I didn't even know.
Ugh. Well, and their subscription offering is fully customizable, so you can pick and choose from their wide variety of blends or meals and switch it up before every delivery. And you know I love a subscription offering.
I know you do. And listen, from farm to the fridge, convenience without compromise. That's what they are. My family has absolutely loved these. My kids love the green kale and apples fruit veggie blend. And my son actually went through all four of them in 2 days. And I love them all because they're healthy. I eat them to tide me through the day. It's a great go-to snack for all. I'm going to subscribe and get a custom assortment of mostly the apple kale packs from kids.
Amazing. And Jamie, it is all about making our busy lives a little bit easier. And you can get started today and enjoy an additional 30% off your first subscription order. Use that code OCT at onceuponafarmorganics.com. That's onceuponafarmorganics.com.
I feel like we skipped a little bit. We skipped over you because I want to get to your, I want to talk about your kids and I want to know all about that. But I want to know, and I think Robin, you do too. Where did your queerness come in? When did you start embracing it? When did you start acting on your queer parts of yourself?
Well, I mean, I had a couple of secret girlfriends in my teens.
Ooh. Oh God, I love a secret girlfriend.
And here's, get ready. It was at girls'
such
angst. Camp.
That's the one thing about the young generation that's so fluid. They're not going to have any secret girlfriends. No. And that's sad for them.
So, but anyway. They're so open. They're really missing out.
They are, because I got to have my secret Mormon girlfriend at Mormon girls' camp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did.
And it was fabulous. It was nice. And it was innocent.
It was like little darlings.
It was awesome. And there's elements of that in the book I'm writing right now. But and then I had what I called my Mormon rum springa when I graduated high school. I had a full ride offer from BYU. And I just said, absolutely not. I need to just take some time off and figure things out. And just kind of left everything that I had known, dated. That was my first time to like go to a lesbian bar. Shout out to Sue Ellen's in Dallas.
Sue Ellen's. Yes! I love Sue Ellen's. My sister lives in Dallas and we used to go to Sue Ellen's and then go across the street to the Roundup.
Yes. Nice.
Sue Ellen's is the best. It's like seven bars in one.
So that was where I got to have my first, like, I've got a girl. She's got her arm around me and we're going to dinner and we're going to dance and we're going to
get it. Did it make you nervous? Because I remember when I came out and I didn't have Mormon dogma and nothing like that. And
well,
I was
only
a
did
wreck.
It well, I'll say that was when we were in the club and in the club, that was just totally fine. Because you're
what happens at Sue Ellen stays at Sue Ellen.
What happens at Sue? Yes, exactly right. But we went to like Six Flags once. And that was kind of nerve wracking because Chris was like, she was stone butch, not afraid of just, I'm who I am. She could take anybody if they wanted to fight her. And there, I don't know. I think I was so, there's a part of me that was still so naive. So what's this father figure song about? That's nice. Like, oh, this girl likes me. This is fun. I'm like, I was in a cloud. Mm-hmm. But I remember these two kids. We were at the Spinnaker at Six Flags in Arlington. And there were these two kids that commented, like, wow, look at her arms, meaning Chris, because Chris was ripped. And of course, she was like, suns out, guns out. Mm-hmm. And and she immediately got kind of like self-conscious. And then everything just kind of changed after that the rest of the day. And then drama happened. And, you know, we didn't see each other because we also worked together. We waited tables. And that's just a drama all in itself. And anyone says it, who's ever waited tables. But that was a period where I got to just like see what that was about. And I really enjoyed it. Now, I have to say, I'm not a lesbian. I am bisexual. I, at this point in my life, I find men interesting in theory. Do I want to date? And I'm not interested in that. But I had this, I had like just a really bad night. I was on acid. I was having a really bad night.
Been there.
I had like a really bad trip. And it was that kind of trip where you're just like, God is trying to tell you something, you know, like Miss Seeley, you know, just like, it was like that moment. Miss Seeley. Miss Seeley. You just came down from the heavens and said, I need to change some shit.
Yes.
So going back to what I knew, I was like, I got to go back to school. I have to go back to college and I've got to go to Utah. I've got to go back to Utah. So I grew up in Texas, but all of my family, the hundreds and plus cousins, they're all in Utah. So I kind of packed everything up and I was like, I've got to cleanse my soul and cleanse my spirit. And I've got to, you know, find a way to make this work. And then, well, I was actually taking care of my grandmother, who I was very, very close to. And we had this really special relationship and she knew that there was something about me. I might cry, y'all. Aww. One of my cousins who I was really close to, and I'm not going to say his name because he's not out, but if you know your family member when they're queer as well. And so I knew, and he knew, and he fought harder than I did to be Mormon. Mm-hmm. And it's because his dad was like militant. And I remember my grandmother saying, she didn't know how to say it. She just didn't know how to say it. But she said, you know, he still waters that run really deep. And there's something under the surface. Maybe one day he'll share.
Oh.
So she knew that my cousin had something that he was hiding. And I think she told me because she wanted to maybe open the door for me. But I never told that to her. I never talked about that. She also just really needed to talk about how she was feeling about things as she was transitioning, as she was dying. Mm-hmm. So when she died, I just had this, well, now I've got to be the person she's always wanted her granddaughters to be. Mm-hmm. And met a guy and he was attractive and everybody seemed to like him. And in Utah, marriage is fast tracked.
Yes.
Because you're not supposed to have sex.
Right.
So they're like, well, the Lord is telling me we're supposed to get married, when it's like, you're horny. But it's like, rub one out, you'll be fine. But I'm real salty. I apologize.
That's good.
So I got married and we immediately had two children. And I come from that. I mean, 164 first cousins, y'all. I got hips and the equipment that was just built to pump them out. So I had my first two kids. The marriage was horrible. It was awful, awful, awful. When there's resentment in a relationship, the relationship's done. That's just advice I'm going to put out there for anybody. Hmm. So I left with the two kids. They were 18 months and 4 months old. And we're done. And come back home to Dallas to my family. And to be honest, the Mormon church stepped up. They did. They stepped up in their service way of, all right, let's get you back into the church. let's get you some job training. Let's mm-hmm. get food for the kids. The local, it's called a ward, but it's basically like a Catholic parish. The ward is going to pull together and get you some clothes for a job interview and gets the kids some clothes so that they have new stuff. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
But there's a payoff, right?
Mm.
You're going to go back to being Mormon again, right?
Yeah.
You're going to.
There's like you what do they say? You take the money, take the shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you living Mormon with your husband?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really was.
But they were afraid they were going to lose
yeah.
you. Yeah. Like you're going to not just leave him, but also leave the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So I tried, you know, mm-hmm. it's one of those things where it's like, you feel honor bound to do mm-hmm. these things and to mm-hmm. have this mindset. And I'm just, you know, okay. And then here's another guy that they all really liked and he's cute. He was really excited about being a dad. He actually adopted my older two children. And so I'm like, okay. So we got married because that's what I was supposed to do. That's what it was expected of me. And yeah. to be honest, you know, I liked him. He was, like I said, I was attractive. And then after our child was born, my son, it was just like, we both kind of were like, oof.
What do we do?
Ooh, no. This isn't what I want. And so we were friends enough that I could tell him. So I came out to him. And he was totally fine with that.
Oh.
And we spent a few years kind of talking about what could we do? Do we make a marriage work? Do we open it up? Do we go our separate ways? And that conversation, that probably lasted
a couple of years. You talked about this?
Years, actually. We spent several years.
A lot of honest conversations, though. I mean.
Yeah. They weren't always kind. They weren't always great. It just, you know, there would be times when it would be, well, let's figure this out. And then there are times mm-hmm. where there's resentment. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, I have three kids in 5 years. So, I mean.
But you're a hero.
And your ex-husband gave up rights to the first two
almost
kids.
Immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was a blessing. That was a no complaints from this mm-hmm. gal on that. Mm-hmm. And so then we we're this family. And then and I still have that idea. Like, y'all, I didn't wear sleeveless tops until I was 36 years old. That's how Mormon I was.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, God can see that. Cover
Too
that
much.
Stuff up. Yeah. She's like, look at me just slutting around with that armpit skin.
Showing off your upper arms like a heathen.
So we kind of had this fundamental break in our relationship where he just didn't want to be in a relationship with me. And I just didn't want to keep trying to convince someone to be in a relationship with me when I didn't really want the relationship either. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So. Doesn't matter, even though we both were like, we hung on to this way longer than we should have for the sake of kids, which is always a fool's errand. Mm-hmm. Because when you are not in a relationship that is modeling what you want for your children, then that's what you're modeling for your kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when that hit me, I am teaching my kids to not be happy. I'm teaching my kids that you don't deserve love too. Mm-hmm.
And also on a really basic level, you're teaching them what relationship looks like, which is unhappiness. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, even more than a deserve conversation. It's like you're modeling a bad relationship that they're going to go out and emulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think when my daughter got to be a certain age, that was kind of when I started having my awakening when I was a young teen.
This is your youngest.
This is my middle. So it's, I have a son, daughter, son.
Son, daughter, son. Okay.
When my daughter hit that age, that was when I was like, okay. I cannot have this be. And then my kids are coming out to me during all of this. And my ex isn't really taking it well. He's thinking there was a, you turned him gay. Little bit there. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. And so my oldest son is now 25. He'll actually, oh my God, he's going to be 26. So, you know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. it was a very different conversation.
Oh, yeah.
In schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's still not great in some places, but obviously. Yeah. But I mean, it's MAGA country where we were living at the time and becoming more and more so. And my son was just getting bullied mercilessly to the point where he had to, I mean, we went through hospitalizations and we went through, I mean, it was just for the sake of his autonomy and stuff, I'll just leave it at that, that it was all the bad things, all the bad things.
Heartbreaking.
And my daughter was suffering silently, closeted, and then came out. And then everything just kind of changed. Mm-hmm. And so we split. It took another year after the divorce for my youngest to finally be able to articulate that they were trans and what all that could mean. And it was like, let's go shopping. What do you want? how do we help you? You know,
and are you at the same exact time processing your own sexuality? So like all of this, like you, your kids, you're all kind of going through this together.
You're so Mormon. You went through it as a family.
I know.
Yay, families are forever.
but is that good or bad? Was that like, I can see where you are, or was it like,
actually,
I can't focus on myself?
Well, look, I'm like hardcore mom. I am that lady in the grocery store that every now and then will have like a toddler grab onto me because they think I'm their mom. I've just come to terms with it. But at that point, first of all, I'd had my son in and out of hospitalization for an absolute mental health crisis for about 2 years. And then we had pulled him out of school. And, you know, so I was dealing with all of that. And then my daughter came out and was really struggling her final 2 years. And then I have to brag about her partner because they're back together and I'm so excited. So when she was in high school, she came out and then she met her partner who was nominated for Homecoming Queen, and they're non-binary, in this little bitty Texas high school.
Nice.
And everybody knew that they were non-binary. And they just were giving the, even though Queen is a gendered, it was like nobody cared. And then they didn't care either. And we go to the homecoming game, and I keep in mind I'm in Texas. And so homecoming is like
big,
the big thing. And like my sister came and her husband, and we're all just like ready. Like if anybody says anything to these kids, I'm good. And everybody was like so excited because of course they won. It was national news.
Oh my God.
So that gave her a moment of stability during the tumultuous divorce.
Yeah.
And then my youngest is in the closet about their sexuality and their gender. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know that there was anything wrong with the marriage. The older two were like,
right.
Mom. Mm. And I felt that they were at a certain age where I could talk about me too. Mm-hmm. You know, I've also gone through this and I was in the closet and I know how difficult it can be. It's a little bit different, but I could work and talk with them about some of this stuff. But with my youngest, it was like, I mean, I'm seat of my pants here. I don't really know how to talk about that. So I put myself on the back burner because I just needed to make sure that my kids were stable. I needed to make sure that they were functioning, that they had a roof over their head, they felt safe and secure. And we're moving forward with their life instead of me worrying about anything. So all of my sexuality was out there for them to know, but I wasn't dating. I wasn't, you know, active or anything like that. I was just trying to keep my own head above water with respect to.
Yeah. For them. You had a lot going on with those kids. That's a lot.
Had you raised them Mormon?
No.
Ah.
I didn't. I tried.
That was probably helpful.
But when I left with an 18-month-old and a 4-month-old. I tried, and as soon as I married, who is their father, he legally adopted them, I was like, I'm kind of done going to church, and I'm kind of done teaching this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they want to know about it, I'll talk to them about it, because they're going to be exposed because of family. But I don't want to keep teaching this stuff. I don't want to perpetuate this stuff. So from my early 30s, I was effectively not Mormon, even though on the rolls I still was.
Uh-huh. So your youngest wasn't raised in the church at all?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah.
Really all of
Thank
them.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank Buddha. Thank whoever's out there.
Right?
Mother Nature.
You know, there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care, Robin. Mm-hmm, I use so much product. I need a good shampoo to get it all out, but it needs to keep my hair grease-free so it's easy to style.
Oh my God, tell me about it. I need a good conditioner that's going to soften my hair without adding more grease. But now I have Personalized Pros Routine, and I can honestly say I've never been more in love with my hair.
That's exactly where I was going. Pros makes custom hair care that is effective because it is personal. It uses natural ingredients with proven results. Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. So what you do is you take this quiz, and some of the questions I got were unexpected, like what's your zip code and how often do you exercise? Location and the amount of times your hair gets sweaty makes a big difference in your hair. But I've never been asked those things when it comes to choosing products. Smart.
I know, totally. And yeah. Pros analyzes all your answers and then determines what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product for your custom routine. And Pros got all my hair goals covered. Look at my hair, Jimmy. Does it look greasy to you?
It does not, Robin. It does not.
Exactly.
I'm using a smooth and vibrant clarifying and cleanse blend, and my hair feels great, and it's taking all this product like a champ.
Oh my God. And all their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They are also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. That's amazing. I love that.
And if you are not 100% positive Pros is the best hair care you've had, they will take the product back, no questions asked.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/OCT.
That's PROSE.com/OCT for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
Woo! So how is everybody now? I mean, and how are you and how is that?
I have to say, they're all doing great. They're That's all awesome. Thriving. So my son, my oldest son, who had, did we have some, those teen years were really, really rough. Really, really rough. He has like the most amazing job. He has a tight group of friends. He has the life that he wants for himself. And there are elements of it that I'm like, okay, this doesn't work for me. He wants to be religious. He wants to be really spiritual and really devoted to his church. And that's his choice to make. And that's just fine. And then my younger two are like, fuck God, fuck religion. I want nothing to do with it. And all respect, but my daughter graduated with a 4.0 from Texas Women's, and she's getting ready to go to grad school. And then my youngest is probably one of the funniest people I know. He's so talented. One of the bravest people I know. I mean, here is this kid who basically marched up, and he's not a tall guy. He's 5'5". He's going to get mad that I say that. You're 5'6". He's 5'5".
Let's give him 5'7".
He's
what the hell?
6'3". And
he's starting basketball career.
I'm just saying it's a little creepy. It's a little freakish when he has to duck. So he went to this high school that's just full of the red caps and just demanded that everyone use the correct pronouns. He's like, I'm Elliot now. And his teachers were like, okay. And if they didn't call him Elliot, he'd say it's Elliot.
Wow.
Oh, good for him.
The swagger on this kid, men's bathroom, says, I don't belong in the women's bathroom. I don't belong there.
Wow. And just good
does
for
it.
Him.
Just Amazing. Freaking does it.
And it all turned out okay.
And they all turned out okay. Yeah. They all did. Every one of them. They are the loves of my life, to be honest.
I mean, I think that's a testament to you that, I mean, you did a good job and it doesn't seem like you flinched at all with all of their coming out.
That's true.
It seems like you led with your gut, which is something we talk a lot about in terms of like the fertility process. But it's something I think about for life. Like, it just seems like you were like, this isn't right. I need to move myself here. Yeah. And you just kept listening and you kept listening.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine if you had not?
I think there's something to being queer and always having that wrong foot feeling from the start, where I don't want to like paint with a broad brush, but I think we're a little bit more open to being responsive to something doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel this cog is slipping, you know?
Right, right.
And I do love that y'all, because I've listened to several podcasts of the recent ones where people just really had to advocate for themselves in the medical community. And I mean, that's how it is when you're in a conservative community and you have a gay child, you have maybe an autistic child, you have, you know, you just have to say, you know what, I am the expert on my child.
Right.
Not you. And I am telling you that this is what it is because they have told me.
Yeah. I say all the time, like, we know what it feels like to be othered.
Yeah.
And so we can see that in others when they're othered and we can understand it and we can help them help themselves, I suppose. But I do want to ask because my daughter's 7 and we just have been having conversations about gender and all the stuff. And we have this book and she recently said to me, you know, I feel kind of like between a boy and a girl, you know, and we're talking and we're very open about having this whole conversation. And I'm not going to lie. And I have a podcast about this stuff. I'm very open, right? I'm not going to lie. I had a moment where I'm laying there with my daughter in the bed thinking, oh my God, are we going here? Oh my God, is this? Oh, so I recognized even within myself, like some of my inner biases came out and I had to, if we do go down this path, because who knows, she's 7.
Right.
I'm going to have some reckoning to do within my own self, which I didn't expect. Honestly, I thought it was so open and, you know, cool with down with whatever. And I'm coming to realize, this might take some work in my own heart, you know?
It does. You know, I heard a story. This was something that when my son came out to me as being trans, there was, and it's one of those things that like got passed around on Tumblr and Facebook, you know, blah, 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 in our communities. And it essentially boiled down to there was this family that somebody had known. So it's probably a wives' tale. But there was a family at the turn of the century who had had a daughter and they went away and they came back with a son. And I may have had the gender switched. And they said, you know, I'm making up a name. Emmeline passed away, but this is our son, Beau. And so basically they just made it possible. They made it possible for their family to transition. And this is 100 years ago.
Right.
And something struck me when I heard that about Emmeline died. And I realized that anything that I was feeling about what was happening with my youngest son, and in some respects with my older son, because when he had all of his mental breakdowns, it changed his trajectory for what I had imagined. And so it's all ego. It's all yourself where it's, I had this expectation that your path would take you here.
Yeah.
And I think that it's okay as a mother to internally mourn that path. Because I think you do that regardless of, like, I wanted my kid to be a doctor and they're going to be whatever, or, you know.
Or I wanted them to put their shoes on.
There's that.
I mourn that.
There's that.
But it's like there's a grieving process for that imagined path. And I think it's okay to have that internally.
Even when you don't realize you have it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize I had an internal path in my head for her. And I do want to be clear.
Yeah.
I don't mean to out my daughter. We have no idea where she's going to end up.
This is a 7-year-old talking to mom.
Exactly. This is just an initial conversation about gender. And I'm talking about the realization I had within my own heart with some of the things that she said.
Yeah.
But you can't help but let the world seep into your pores. I mean, you know?
But that's why it's so great to have a dialogue like this. And to have a platform like this, because if you don't talk about it and you don't lay out other people's experiences, you don't get the opportunity to think about somebody else's, how somebody else approached it.
Right, right.
Yep.
Because otherwise you're just caught, you know, you get caught with the blinders on and all you can see is just like what's in front of you. And I don't know, it's a never-ending conversation.
It is.
That has to happen, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're not afraid to be a little different. the more conversations like this that are out there, the more you realize, oh, we're all completely different, and that's okay.
You just made me remember my favorite childhood book, and this probably should have been a clue to everyone in my family. There was a book when I was like 4 years old, and it was Mr. Pine's Purple House.
I don't know this
and
book.
Mr. Pine had a house, and it looked exactly like every single house in the block. And every single house in the block had a door on the right and a window to the left and a shrub in the front and a tree in the corner. Every single house. And he wanted to look different. So he did like a, he planted a rose bush, and then everybody on the block planted a rose bush. And he's like, and he goes, okay, I'm going to make my sidewalk go like this. And then everyone went, oh, that looks nice. And then everybody else went, and he's like, damn it. So he goes and he buys some paint, and he bought purple paint. And it's all the mess, and he's got the cat that's running up the ladder, and you know, it's a little kid's book and stuff like that. And he paints his house purple, and the neighbors are like, I want to paint my house too. And he's like, fucking, like, of course, he's not saying that, but it would have been a fun book.
I wish he was.
But they're like, no, I want mine to be striped. I want mine to be green. I want mine to be blue.
Oh,
Mr. Pine's
my God.
Purple House. Where the hell is this book?
I love that book. God. I'm going to cry for that book. I want to get that book for my kids. Yeah. What a great lesson.
Yeah, I loved that book.
I love it. What I love about this, though, is like you are just about representation on every level.
Yeah.
For yourself, for your children, like the way you're processing it all. And also in your writing, too. But it just extends in every area of your life that you're just creating space. And I'm so incredibly happy that Mary found you and that she kept pushing us to get you on this podcast because your story is beautiful.
You're just a badass, well, Laura Stone. You're just a badass.
Well, I was going to say.
I mean.
So good.
I appreciate it. I just, you know, when you realize that when you can drop a lot of the ego.
Yeah.
Life is so much more fun.
Agreed. Mm.
It's so much more interesting. I want to hear the stories. I want to hear other people's adventures and thoughts. And I want to be surrounded by, I want to learn. I want to continually learn and do better.
Yes.
So the only way you can do that is just by dropping the ego and going, what's your story?
Yes.
What's going on there?
And taking in new stories and accepting new stories.
Yeah.
My God.
Amazing.
Write some more books, okay? I know you're working on one.
I will. Speaking of what's your story, tell everyone where they can follow you, where they can get your books, all of the jams.
Sure. So I'm probably the most active on Twitter, and I know Twitter's usually a hellscape, but I do try to post funny shit.
Good.
I can say that. I've been following you for a while.
Thank you. And it's Stony Boboni because, you know, handles are a nightmare. And that's STONEYBOBONEY. And you can also go to my website, laura-stone.com.
Okay, perfect.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
So wonderful.
Kiss Mary square on the mouth for me.
She will.
I sure will. Oh my God, Laura Stone. I have to tell you, I frigging love that she dropped in her coming out story. So I was on acid. I mean, how do you, like, not a lot of coming out stories have
amazing.
That.
Oh, Laura. I love Laura. I mean, what a journey.
Yeah, right? And it just, it's nice to hear that if you leave a church, you can be okay if that's your path, you know?
You can. In the end, it'll all be okay.
It will be.
Okay, it's not the end.
That's right.
My favorite quote in the whole, but what I love about Laura is that she's obsessed with plants like I am. And she even has a plant page that I follow now. And I was supposed to send her a picture of my dying plant, and I never did. And now the dang plant is dead. I can't take 2022.
It had a good run, Jamie. That plant had a good run.
Well, I never sent her the picture.
It was dying. It was ready to go.
Her.
We got to bring her in for another book club on our live stream if we can work that out. We'll see how the first book goes.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But if it goes well, she's our next book.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm almost done with the book.
Tell everybody what's up next on our next live stream, because it is
Okay. You guys, on our next live stream this Thursday, February 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you do not want to miss this episode because former guest and author Carolyn Elizabeth is joining us to talk about her new book, The Raven and the Banshee, and this is our first ever
book club.
So you need to Get that book.
Get the book right now. You have time to read it.
It's a quick read. It's a good book. It's lesbian.
Lesbians and pirates.
And they're pirates. There's a romance. Mm-hmm. And I'm very into it. I am liking it a lot. So get the book, read the book, come talk with us about it on the live stream with the author herself.
Yes. And if you miss it, you can catch it on your YouTube page later. Yeah. Very exciting. And then after that, you know, follow us over there on the social media. Follow us. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. If These Ovaries Could Talk on the YouTube where the live streams live. And support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. Get bonus content. Why would you not want to do it? You'd be part of our community.
We got you. So we have to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, Modern Fertility, Once Upon a Farm, and Pros. And also a huge thank you to all you Patreons who are helping to make this show.
Huge.
Thank you so much. Huge. Huge. Big. Name that movie. If you can name that. I meant the listener.
Oh, sorry. I wrecked it. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
The only way to go is up. The only way to go is up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.